Welcome to the first episode of Gene Tech Podcast. I'm trying to create a central platform to keep everyone up to date on the newest technology, the most profound research, and the most successful companies. I was inspired to do this through my professors. There isn't really a good way to stay on top of things in this field specifically. You have tons of things for even specific companies like Tesla, but there isn't something for genetics. And it really showed when I started talking to my professors who are actually in this field of molecular biology. They didn't know as much as I thought they should, but it's not for a lack of effort. It's because there literally isn't anyone compiling the important stuff and then just telling people about it. And to start, I would like to have a look at ARC genomics, specifically what Kathy Wood said regarding diagnostic gene technologies in the future.
Certainly, wow. We'll be able to discover cancer in stage one. A lot of companies, Invitae, Exact Sciences, are helping us do that. And if we're able to discover where the mutations are, now the technologies are coming along that we'll be able to cure them.
In stage one.
That's the next big thing.
The sheer funding and attention directed straight at cancer really rings true to me, ARC's bullish approach to, or their bullish understanding of cancer diagnostics. And just to prove it, I'll just play a clip of Obama in 2016 at the State of the Union address, where they announced a new moonshot initiative. And this was to double the research and the progress on cancer.
For the loved ones we've all lost, for the families that we can still save, let's make America the country that cures cancer once and for all. What do you say, Jim? Let's make it happen.
Part of this as well is the sheer funding that goes to the National Cancer Institute. For example, in 2021, this year, it's set to get $6.56 billion. So it's fair to assume that diagnostic gene technologies will start there, not to mention the inherent genetic nature of cancer. To explain where we are with genetics-based cancer diagnostics, I found a really good paper from 2017, headed by a name I'm about to butcher. I think it's Anna Lena Volkmar and plenty others. It's titled, A Field Guide for Cancer Diagnostics Using Cell-Free DNA. From principles to practice and clinical applications. Basically, this is where you'll hear the term liquid biopsies, something that has gained traction recently with Simon Barnett, an analyst at ArcG, mentioning it in a tweet from April 15th, saying, quote, a huge technical constraint in liquid biopsy is the availability of cancerous DNA in a tube of blood, which decreases exponentially with tumor size. Shipping, isolation, extraction, amplification, methylation, conversion, all carry risk of destroying the DNA. He goes on to say, this is placing a huge premium on capture efficiency and uniformity. I, Simon Barnett, that is, think the market for differentiation next generation sequencing, capture, conversion, or sample preparation solutions will grow as liquid biopsy grows. What does that mean? Well, liquid biopsies will drive further innovation in DNA synthesis as the requirement for enhanced precision in the diagnostic space grows. That's a pretty butchered way to paraphrase that. But basically, what I want you to take away from that is that liquid biopsies are definitely something people are talking about at the moment, because this paper was written in 2017. But let's go over what this paper says. Liquid biopsies rely on the cancerous, free-floating, cell-free DNA fragments that circulate in the bloodstream. As of the writing of this paper, that's 2017, we don't really know the mechanism exactly by which cfDNA is released, apart from the assumption that apoptosis is necrosis of malignant cells, or extracellular vesicles even might do it. But look, this article, it is 4 years old, I think, at the moment, so I won't go too much into the mechanisms of cell-free DNA being expressed into the bloodstream. What I'd really like to emphasize here is just how well cell-free DNA concentrations relate to the tumor size. So the larger the tumor, the more cell-free DNA you will have in the bloodstream. And the tumor-related cell-free DNA can be determined by just looking at oncogenic mutations in the DNA. It's really quite simple. Quote, as the cfDNA amount is usually in the range of 10 to 40 nanograms per milliliter of plasma, sensitive methods are required. First here, we're looking at qPCR and spectrophotometers to quantify cfDNA amounts. But because of the low mutation frequency in liquid biopsies, both Sanger sequencing and qPCR seem to lack the required resolution. Digital PCR, dPCR, does in fact have the sensitivity required, but it tends to run into issues in that unknown mutations obviously cannot be detected. But for a known oncomutation, sure, it's very, very sensitive in fact. Also mentioned here is next generation sequencing. And the main issue here seems to be the amount of cfDNA required for analysis. But it's crazy sensitive. It says here that the CAP sequencing technology can detect at a limit of 0.00025% of mutant alleles. And lastly, whole exome and genome sequencing is mentioned as well as a good tool for differentiating between cell-free DNA and circulating tumor DNA. But the takeaway here, I think, is that new next-generation sequencing technologies like CAP sequencing that utilize molecular barcodes are probably the goal. And here's an interesting quote from the paper. Using the CAP sequencing technology, Newman et al. Identified plasma circulating tumor DNA mutations in 100% of stage 2 to stage 4 NSCLC patients. That just means non-small cell lung cancer. I don't know why they decided to call it non-small instead of just medium, but ctDNA was detected in only 50% of stage 1 patients due to the low abundance of ctDNA. That's pretty expected, but despite the wording here, this is actually huge. And exactly what Kathy Wood was referring to in that clip. Essentially, in 2017, we could diagnose cancer 50% of the time in stage 1. That's pretty incredible. Quote, it is possible to detect mutations up to 2 years before cancer diagnosis. That is pretty incredible. Of course, it's not all good news. They mention here in the article some instances where liquid biopsies are not more sensitive than the current screening methods. But this was 4 years ago. So I'd really like to see where things are now. And we'll certainly be diving in further to liquid biopsies in future episodes, but what I wanted to do was give you an idea of genetics and to also just start with these podcasts, get something out there. But for now, that is all the time I have. I really want to get this podcast out. And I think for now, I'll be focusing like this. I'll be focusing on specific issues. So next, I'm looking at HIV. And the company that I'm really excited about with HIV is American Gene Technologies. And I'll be looking into their methods, how they do it, and how it's related to gene therapy. Going to be a really good episode next time. But what I wanted to do was just quickly go over liquid biopsies for this one. Have a good one, guys.